This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Second hour here. Midday 180. Delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're online, edleysbbq.com. There will be an open in an hour for you. Delivery options available, 12 Southeast Nashville, Sylvan Park.
Boys, I have taken the next step with Verizon. I stopped over at the store on West End, over by Vandy.
Yeah?
Near what I call the Kevin Stallings wall. He was the most influential Vandy coach for me. I was a season ticket holder. I liked him as a strategist, though I found him petulant with the foot stomping. You know, I don't call it the James Franklin wall or the Melanie Balcom wall. I call it the Kevin Stallings wall. I don't at me. So I went in there.
Trademark pending.
And the dude looked at a few things, and he said there wasn't much I could do. But then he gave me a little sticky. What does that sticky say there, Hutton?
Phoneclaim.com.
I have insurance on this phone. Generally, I get insurance for the first year because if I break or lose the phone, I... still a big investment. Then I removed the insurance for the second year because right. I would rather get the new phone. I still have insurance on this bad boy. I filed a claim yesterday. I'm going to replace your bleepy phone with the phone that works. This is my new plan.
A new iPhone? Brand
this
new?
This phone here.
Oh,
Not like the bread machine. Yeah. A replacement.
This model?
yeah, the model.
Well, thanks, I love it.
No, that exact one.
Did you see Derek Mason at the Verizon over there in West End?
I didn't see him, nor did I see a mural of him because they painted over him. But I understand I could go look for him somewhere.
I don't even know if there's a Verizon store in Auburn, Alabama, but Derek Mason's about to find out because Derek Mason is now the defensive coordinator for the Auburn Tigers. Brian Harsin making his hire for defensive coordinator, former Vanderbilt head coach Derek Mason. He was highly sought after as a defensive coordinator.
Hey, good luck.
I know
he
talked with LSU and some others, and I think we all knew that was going to be the case.
That's the right job for him. I don't know if it's the right place, but it's the right job.
Well, when you've got a head coach in the SEC that was there as long as he was, he's going to be sought after as an assistant. And there's no signs that he's a bad defensive coordinator based on his time at Stanford. So Auburn makes the move. Derek Mason, now defensive coordinator at Auburn for Brian Harsin.
There was significant thought that he would sit out. And good for him getting back into it.
Going back to Auburn quickly, and we're going to talk a lot more about this with Stephen Godfrey that we were talking about a little bit during the break. If Tennessee makes a move with Jeremy Pruitt, which the news comes out earlier today, Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN reporting, they're in a hiring freeze. They're not allowing Tennessee to either renew contracts or hire anyone else. That's not a good sign for Jeremy Pruitt. Moving forward, if a move is made with Jeremy Pruitt, Gus Malzahn almost makes too much sense as the replacement. For this reason, Gus Malzahn to me seems like the one plug and play coach. If you're going to replace a coach at this part of the process and you can bring in a guy who coached in the SEC as a head coach at Auburn for as long as he did, who was coaching this past season, and can step right into a program, and guess what? Everyone that commits to Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt chooses Tennessee over Auburn.
Yeah.
That's the recruiting ground. It's Auburn versus Tennessee on the recruiting in recruiting over and over again. You're recruiting the same players. Gus Malzahn already has a relationship with a lot of these players. The staff he could attract has a relationship with players in the state of Tennessee that Tennessee would be going after. If you want to make a move that could lead Tennessee quickly to a 7-5, 8-4 level and sustain it, I think it's Gus Malzahn. I don't know how high the ceiling is with Gus Malzahn. I don't think the ceiling is as high as it is as, let's say, they were able to lure a Matt Campbell away or even Luke Fickle, not knowing what he could do in the SEC. But where the ceiling is with Gus Malzahn, it's pretty damn good, and it's much better than what Tennessee is right now.
It could be Auburn.
It just seems like it makes a lot of sense for both sides.
He's got nowhere else to go also, right?
Right now he doesn't. And Tennessee would be the one, and it's a big opening. but it'd be the one opening out there, and you could
his
go
conference.
But think of it from both perspectives. Gus Malzahn, represented by Jimmy Sexton, like all the SEC coaches, he is going from a job in Auburn, who you play second fiddle to Alabama, and Auburn fans are never happy unless you're better than Alabama. They don't want to listen to the reason, which is Nick Saban's the greatest coach in the history of college football. And, oh, by the way, Gus Malzahn beat him more than anyone else
right.
in his time at Auburn. Still not good enough for Auburn fans. You've got a chip on your shoulder now, something to prove. You can go right over to Knoxville. You're in a weaker division in the SEC East. You still got to compete with Florida and Georgia, which is never going to be easy. But you're in a weaker division. You're recruiting the same players anyway. You get to bring your staff. Kevin Steele, as defensive coordinator, is a Tennessee grad, played at Tennessee.
Who your school considered for head coach.
It makes too much sense for Tennessee to actually do it. This is the problem I have. But now the more I think about it, that's not what they're going to do.
Because it's too much
sense. It just makes too much sense.
And the only complaint the fan base could make there, which is an unreasonable complaint, is that it's not flashy enough, that he's not flashy enough. And you got to give up on that.
I think the flashy thing is out the window because I think that's pretty flashy.
I agree.
A guy who had coached in a national championship game, won the SEC, coached a Heisman Trophy winner, beat Alabama more than Hugh Freeze, who Tennessee fans love to tout Hugh Freeze because, well, the guy beats Bama. Well, so did Gus Malzahn at Auburn.
Yep.
If you bring him in immediately, I mean, what am I missing here? Here's the two.
I agree.
Here's the two complaints.
He's not Matt Campbell or John Gruden, and some of these people still have those fantasies.
I'm a flashier hire than Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes.
So if that's their only complaint, they can go kick rocks.
Well, I agree.
Here's the two complaints.
That element's out there.
Yes. Here's the two complaints, Paul. Here's, I think, the two complaints you'd hear from Tennessee fans about Gus Malzahn. One, why are we hiring a guy who just got fired in the SEC? Two, Jeremy Pruitt's biggest win is over Gus Malzahn in year one. He won at Auburn.
So what?
This was the knock on Butch Jones. I just saw Derek Dooley beat the hell out of Butch Jones at Cincinnati. Right? Oh, you're firing a guy to hire someone that he beat? I agree. That's ridiculous.
Moment in time.
Thanks. Yes, that's ridiculous. It makes too much sense for Tennessee to actually do it.
And I'm talking about
my alma mater.
Line it up in
advance. It just makes too much sense for them to actually do it. They'll talk their way out of it.
Is he Sexton?
He is Sexton. Yes.
So the lined up in advance, like do it all at once thing is not.
Isn't it crazy how they maneuver all that?
Can we get some sort of antitrust thing going against Jimmy Sexton? Because he's monopolized college football. We need more agents to represent coaches so you can deal with different agents.
Who doesn't have them in the SEC? That's tougher than looking
I just
up,
need to right, look at right, Jimmy right. Sexton's client list. I mean, I know he's got Kiffin, Saban, Pruitt, Malzahn.
What about Derek Mason?
Kirby Smart. Is a Sexton guy?
How about Mullen?
I don't think he's got Derek Mason, but I could be wrong.
It's
I feel
unbelievable.
Like Mullen's got someone.
The power is unbelievable.
I'm just searching Jimmy Sexton clients. Jimbo Fisher. He also represents guys like Julio Jones, Philip Rivers, Jason Witten, Scottie Pippen, Bill Parcells,
Scottie Pippen Jr.
Soon to be Scottie Pippen Jr. Scottie Pippen Jr. can play, by the way. That's a fun guy to watch.
That Vandy shot to win the Kentucky game was, did we talk about that? It was a great shot. The shot before that, I don't know what to lose it, but I mean, it touched every piece of the rim.
You want to talk about
a coach that was very disappointing.
A coach that's in an odd spot right now is Jerry Stackhouse, hired by the previous AD. And the new AD has shown quickly that she's not messing around when it comes to people who aren't her hires.
And he's got a monster staff that you would think the return on investment would be a little bit more brisk on a basketball program.
I think it's a team
you don't need so many people.
It's a team that's got the capability of improving as the year goes on and looking pretty good by the end of the year in this SEC, which I don't think is fantastic top to bottom, the conference. But if it's a repeat of last year with this team a year later, Jerry Stackhouse would be in trouble.
Is Alabama good? They out Tennessee.
Alabama's very good. And I think the more I watch, because they killed Florida the other night, Nate Oates can coach. He's the Bobby Hurley disciple that took Buffalo and then beat Bobby Hurley the next year in the tournament when he went to Arizona State.
Are they Vol style?
No.
Against the Vols, they looked a little bit like the Vols defensively.
No, they are run and gun, drive for a layup or shoot a three. They shoot more threes than anyone else in the SEC.
They had a very good defensive night against Tennessee from the piece of that game that
Tennessee
I saw.
Tennessee played three straight miserable halves of basketball. When you look at the entire game against Bama, they were bad the whole game. And they even had chances to really make it a game late and couldn't do anything offensively. Terrible in the first half last night. They're down 7 at halftime against Arkansas. They got a moronic play at the end of the half where they shoot it too quickly. Arkansas gets a layup at the buzzer on the other end. But they battled back and won last night. That's a key win because when you play three straight bad halves and you can split in conference, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So maybe they figure some things out now, but their issue is there's no true alpha scorer on that team. They got to go through Fulkerson, and Fulkerson's been bad until the second half of last night, and he started to take over early in that second half. But their offense has to go through him when things get tough. If you remember with Grant Williams on the team, when it was a 4 or 5 point game in the last 10 minutes, every trip down was going through Grant Williams, and he was getting to the free throw line or he was doing something. That's got to be Fulkerson on this team.
Outside of Grant Williams, who I think everybody had to love, right? There was nothing not to like about Grant Williams. Pons may be my favorite guy that I've seen suit up.
He's fun to watch.
For that team. I mean, he's really a remarkable.
He's a specimen.
My only question about him is, like, do we know anything about him other than he's a basketball player? I mean, does he play piano? Does he dance?
Is he French?
Is he, like, give it a rest already. Like, how many times are we going to see that over the course of one game broadcast? Yes, he can play piano. He was a dancer as a child. That's why he can jump high. Lay off of it.
Yeah, it's big to get into that. He's a chef. He does cooking classes on the Vol Basketball Instagram account.
David has got his fill of the versatile Pons.
He also got married at 18 years old. He's married to a woman like 3 or 4 years older than him, but they just live together in a condo in Knoxville.
That's a very, yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah, they did. That's a very French thing to do.
That's big in France.
I would expect a more laissez-faire approach.
Yeah, yes. Explore the world.
For some reason, I just have this image in my head that all older French women just marry younger men for some reason.
Yeah. Sugar mamas.
Because of the president? In the president of France married to like a 70-year-old woman?
Yeah, older.
Maybe if they were married outdoors in Paris, where would they have been?
Champs-Élysées, yeah.
The big marriage spot.
Today. He remembered that.
Hutton is, I mean, he's been sitting on that for 3 minutes while we were talking about French stuff. He's like, all right, how do I set up Paul that's for a French accent here? I got to get him to say Champs-Élysées.
Side note on a previous conversation, it's tough to find just a hard list of Jimmy Sexton clients.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories written about him, but it's not like he lists all of them on a website.
Very few do.
This was from 2017, though, from Darren Revelle. SEC coaches represented by Jimmy Sexton. Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, Will Muschamp at the time, Mark Stoops at Kentucky, Kirby Smart, Dan Mullen, Jimbo Fisher.
That's too much. Too much. You're doing too much.
And this is, I guess, pre-Jeremy Pruitt. It was also represented by Jimmy Sexton.
I wonder if Godfrey's represented by Jimmy Sexton.
One of the lesser agents.
I bet he knows how to get in touch with him.
Bet he has an opinion on him.
Oh, yeah. Godfrey's coming up. A lot to discuss across the college football landscape. We will talk Tennessee. We'll talk national championship and much more. But first, Titans fans, it is Titans Ticket Thursday, presented by Kentucky Legend on 104.5 The Zone. Be caller number 5 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Tennessee Titans take on the Baltimore Ravens on Super Wild Card Weekend for the NFL playoffs on Sunday, January 10th at Nissan Stadium. This Sunday, you know when the game is. It kicks off at noon. You can hear the game right here on Titans Radio. This Sunday, you can go to the game. Pair of tickets. Maybe you're sitting next to Chad Withrow. Chad has great seats.
I'll be there.
Kentucky Legend provides great seats. Pair of tickets from Kentucky Legend. 615-737-1045. 615-737-ZONE. Let me give the right number there. I gave the call-in number. I'm giving the contest line. 615-737-ZONE. Call the correct number, 0663. 737-0663. Your caller 5, you win a pair of tickets. Thanks to Kentucky Legend. Titans Ticket Thursday on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Online, edleysbbq.com. Stephen Godfrey, Banner Society, at 38 Godfrey on Twitter, joins us weekly. Godfrey, Happy New Year to you. Hope you're doing well, man.
Hello, sirs.
So, Godfrey, the story just always continues in Knoxville. The latest from Mark Slaybaugh, the hiring freeze. You knew something was going to happen. Hiring freeze, not allowed to extend to assistant coaches. The writing on the wall does not look good for Jeremy Pruitt. What are your thoughts?
It's all jived with what's been going on for a while. Yeah. This is it was a little bit of an open secret because the here's why. There was supposed to be some movement on a position in assistant coaches that had not happened yet, and obviously it was Tennessee situation with playing West Virginia in the Liberty Bowl.
Yep, that's right. You got it.
Okay. What a bowl.
Bowl season matters. I do this for a living. once that happened, that's when the really at the time just well placed rumors inside of Knoxville. That's when everything kind of started clicking and people in the industry started to notice because there was going to be movement regardless of outcomes on game on his staff. And when it froze up like that, that's when everyone went, oh, okay.
What is the industry vibe on Tennessee and the opening and who could be in play there and how sought after a position that's going to be from coaches?
Well, so here's the deal. This is the David Beatty, okay? This is the tactic. This is the David Beatty maneuver. And if you don't know what that means, I've tweeted out a bunch of stuff this morning about the coverage we gave the David Beatty Kansas situation about a year and a half ago. And David Beatty ended up settling out of court. So what happened there was that the NCAA was already on campus at Kansas investigating Bill Self for the basketball program. I'm going to be as succinct as possible, guys. What happened was that Jeff Long, the AD, wanted to hire Les Miles. Kansas, very cash poor at the time, not unlike Tennessee in a different way. Decided, well, let's fire David Beatty, but we don't want to pay his buyout. And by the way, guys, his buyout was like, I think $9 million, nothing like in the $20 million range. I can't remember at the time. It was not crazy compared to the normal standards. So they find what it amounted to be, the violation that they found, was that a group of quarterbacks went to watch video in a room during a dead period, and a staffer who was a video coordinator for the team, who later became an assistant head coach, was in the room at the same time. That was it. And that was his running an NCAA violation football program. That allowed, in Kansas's eyes, them to fire Dave Beatty and not pay all the buyout. Okay? It ended up in court falling apart, finally, after they sued and they did a settlement. This maneuver, I was freaking out last year, guys. I kept saying, everybody needs to pay attention to this. Everybody needs to watch out because now we are seeing a legally minded maneuver towards breaking buyouts. Okay? We've been hearing about this for years. Athletic directors and big time boosters that are outside of departments saying this is bad business to create these buyouts, and the agent's still pushing forward. So what you're seeing right now is a maneuver similar to what Kansas did to rid Tennessee of Pruitt and his staff without paying out the nose for it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, y'all, they ain't got the cash to do it.
So if Tennessee negotiates this buyout down, even if it doesn't go to court, but with Jimmy Sexton, they can negotiate a buyout and Jeremy Pruitt's out as head coach. What does this job look like to coaches that would be a desirable hire at Tennessee?
So here's the second part of the Beatty maneuver. It's a controlled burn. Okay. You know how, like, sometimes you get stuff in your yard and you're like, all right, I'm going to burn this rather than throw it away. And then, oh, no, I set my house on fire because I'm a redneck. Don't be a redneck, Tennessee. Don't set your house on fire. And the way you set your house on fire, metaphorically, folks, and I am somewhat of an expert in this field, is you raise your hand and you say, hey, NCAA, I did a bad. Hey, y'all, I did a bad. Come down here. Because the NCAA shows up like termites, okay? They're not going to come in and go, Tennessee, tell me about your bad that you did. Oh, I admonish thee. Fire your coach. Nope. They are going to give you a dental examination via your rectum. Okay? That is the problem. for Tennessee. When you pull the David Beatty maneuver, you are inviting a world of potential pain. Now, let's all stop and ask ourselves, Big Orange, how clean is the house right now? If you had company over, is every toilet clean? Is everything picked up off the floor? This is the SEC. Nobody really keeps a clean house, okay? It's like a college apartment building. Something has mold growing on it, and something is decomposing in the backyard. So be careful, because what I'm trying to do is answer Chad's question in as long-winded way as possible. Your value as a job is going to be determined by what kind of house is still standing once the NCAA gets done with that dental examination.
So we had this discussion earlier, Godfrey, and if I'm, you know, just in my mind putting together a list of who I'd like to see Tennessee hire, you know, it starts with Matt Campbell and Luke Fickell, but they're probably not going to take the job, so let's cross them off the list. Then I'll go to Gus Malzahn. And the more I think about Gus Malzahn as a plug-and-play coach, considering he's recruiting the exact same players Tennessee was recruiting, because it's always Tennessee and Auburn for players that are being recruited by Tennessee and Auburn in the end, and the staff that he could bring with Kevin Steele, a Tennessee alum, everything else, it makes almost too much sense to actually happen when you talk about Tennessee decision-making. What do you think of Gus Malzahn as a possibility?
I think I understand why Auburn soured on Gus Malzahn over the years. We've talked about sort of that Auburn effect of living inside Alabama, literally, you know, during these last 10 to 15 years, and the kind of madness that that inspired. Let me say this. Tennessee hired Gus Malzahn, and he brought that level of staff, which you're probably, I would say you're looking at like Kevin Steele, Chad Morris. Maybe he goes out and gets a guy like Herb Hand, who was just fired at Texas on that staff, who has coached at Auburn. That would be the best staff I've seen at Tennessee in a long time, in terms of effectiveness, in terms of cumulative wins and all that kind of stuff. They would have big PR wins immediately. From the Malzahn point of view, you have to be incentivized at this point because you got your money, right? You got your cash. And I'm pretty sure the 20.5 doesn't offset. You got 10 of it up front, or 21, I'm sorry. So you really got to be incentivized if you're Gus Malzahn, and you need to believe that you can win the SEC at Tennessee, that there will be a path cleared for you in all of the non-football ways to make football successful. And that, again, gentlemen, is the problem, because what is Tennessee, and where is Tennessee in the standing of the SEC? These are the bigger questions to ask, because if I'm Gus Malzahn, it just feels like incomplete information right now. And again, when you do the Beatty thing, there is potential for everyone to go, oh wow, things are so bad in their house they poured gasoline all over everything. So you have to be careful here.
So a good friend of the show, Barton Simmons, has taken a job on Clark Lee's staff as the de facto general manager of Vanderbilt football. I love the move. It's outside the box. I think Barton's a very smart guy, clearly connected in recruiting with high schools and players, knows what he's doing, and it's a really good move by Clark Lee. What do you think of Barton Simmons in this role in his hometown, but also this idea of this kind of Austin Thomas-esque general manager of a program?
I'm a little mad because I've just lost a quick resource for myself. So on a very selfish level, I'm frustrated because I assume that Barton's going to be a far busier man now. But all joking aside, it's a really good hire. It's really smart. This is a very distinctly Nashville staff, and I'm not saying that as a pejorative. You know, oftentimes we talk about local politics bleeding into college football programs in a bad way, but, you know, we've talked for years on this show, y'all, about Vanderbilt's inability to understand Nashville, and I think vice versa as well. You know, Barton and Clark were teammates together, I believe, right? And I've had parents at my kids' schools, because there's some NBA grads there, kind of talking about all this, and, like, there is a base level awareness of Vanderbilt football in a way in which I have not seen since James Franklin had them going to bowls. So, and they haven't even done anything yet. They don't even have a complete staff yet. But I will say this, Chad, I literally just got off the phone with another coach right before we did this spot. And the names I'm hearing, that whether or not they even get to Nashville, that are being targeted for this staff, are really impressive. And they're smart. It's not just going out and getting the best available gun for hire. it's guys that – it's a lot of guys like I keep a notebook where I'm like, I met this DB's coach, or I met this running back or whatever on this particular staff, and I really think he's going somewhere. And, like, Clark Lee has an eye for this. I'm impressed so far just by the rumors. So whatever he ends up putting together, I am not saying that Vanderbilt's a six-win bowl team next year, because there are some mountains to be moved. But he gets it, and I think they're going to be dialed into Nashville to help keep that awareness up in a way in which we haven't seen it since Franklin was, you know, calling into y'all shows and stuff.
Yeah, I hear that, and I think Godfrey, I think NCAA college football free agency with the coaching movements that's coming up with the transfer rules and the portal. When you hear these names for the staff at Vandy, potential names, are you automatically thinking some of the players they could bring with them? Is that go along with all this?
No, I'm thinking about this long gestating idea, and I'll have to sit down and write it. It'll be way too long and probably filled with SAT words. That's what I do. But this idea of Vanderbilt that I keep pushing on the show, where I'm like, you know, I joke all the time, and I'm like, hey, Vanderbilt should be the best of both worlds, because you can offer an Ivy League level education and offer the single greatest football experience for a college athlete in America, and that's the Southeastern Conference. No one argues those two things,
right?
I sound like a Boston sport. No one argues that. but it has not matriculated. It hasn't even come close. And if anything, rather than pride coming from Weston, we've seen a lot of just horrible stuff over the years. We don't have to get into it right now, but a lot of just really, really bad management, nearsightedness, naivete, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these moves to me look like here's my thing about Barton Simmons. Barton played safety at Yale and he was good. Okay. Barton is literally the embodiment of what you're going to have to go and find, which are guys with high intellect who can work their butts off that you target at an extremely early age in recruiting. I don't think people realize how aggressive Northwestern and Stanford are in recruiting. And I don't mean aggressive as in going in and fighting for the five-star wide receiver that's going to go to LSU. I'm talking about identifying the four-star or maybe three-star project tight end or linebacker at some high school in Virginia or Arizona and figuring out if he's able to handle being at Stanford or Northwestern in the ninth grade and then working with them, or the eighth grade for that matter. The only other place I see this are the service academies, because the requirements to entrance are so high. And that's the challenge in front of Vanderbilt. So Barton gets that. These coaches get that. They're not going to shy away from it or grit their teeth at it, which is what's been going on in some way, shape, or form in West Bend for as long as I can remember. Franklin preached publicly about the value of the degree. Internally, they got just as frustrated as anyone else that they couldn't pull the same four-star running back that a Tennessee would. You have to be different in everything that you do at Vanderbilt if you are going to be this paragon of exceptionalism that you believe is possible.
The thing with Barton that I was thinking too is a lot of times if you career change in the sports industry and you fail, you're kind of in no man's land and you've really sacrificed everything. If he fails for whatever reason, whether it's his fault or not, he can go right back to what he was doing.
Yeah, because everyone's failed at Vandy. So what's the big deal?
Hey, man.
You just took a shot.
I think he could go back to 247 in a heartbeat, because he evaluates. He's a real deal talent evaluator, right. and that industry is filled with a bunch of fakes. And I'm not trying to fire shots, but like most of those people are like, I think the kid's a three-star. I'm like, you don't know your ass from your elbow. What are you talking about? Like, having that level of acumen, he would go back into that field if he wanted to.
It's a commodity.
Yeah.
Let's look.
I would love to. Hey, anybody wants to hire me as a fixer? I'll quit in a heartbeat and just go be the guy that moves the body. Is anybody listening in Tennessee? I could do that job.
I've got a lot of people that apply for that job all the time that would love to have that job at Tennessee or another school. Let's look at this Vandy example of you go to Vandy, you fail. You can still go other places because the expectation at Vandy is to fail. Derek Mason landed in a pretty good spot as defensive coordinator at Auburn today.
That was an excellent transition. Can we just pause and check in and applaud that transition?
Thank you.
That was good.
I'll give it a bell.
That was top-tier radio. I said for a long time Mason was a really high – like he was a high-value target for a DC job. He never stopped being a coveted defensive coach. And – It's an interesting hire. I think it's a really good hire. I think it's I think he and Harsin have. I don't think they've worked together, but you know, there's a West Coast affiliation with West Coast guys. I think they'll get on really well. I've spent a decent amount of time with Mason, and I've interviewed Harsh at length for over the years, and I think that jibes. Way more interested in the Mike Bobo thing. I know Mason's the local story here, so let me just put a bow on it and say that I think he'll do extremely well, and defensive coordinator suits exactly kind of who he is and what he needs to be. But Mike Bobo, how did Mike Bobo end up being a battled over commodity in the SEC at offensive coordinator? Am I high? What is going on?
Are you
anybody?
High?
Yeah. Answer your rhetorical question.
No, I'm not.
Will Friend headed to Auburn's a huge coup for Auburn, getting him and Mike Bobo away from South Carolina.
What? No, seriously, like this is a real thing that's happening right now, right?
Yeah,
I have
happened.
Not suffered any head trauma. He got fired from Colorado State, guys. Remember this? Into the void now.
We lost you there for a second.
Godfrey, thank you as always, and let's catch up next week.
Love y'all.
This was fun.
We love you too. Godfrey. I love listening to you say Mike Bobo.
Hey, tell us, give us the plug for the podcast, if you will.
Or just say one more time, getting a dental exam through your rectum. That was a big hit when you said that.
Thank you. At 30. Yeah, wrong plug. Split zone duo. Thank you for always plugging, Hutton.
You got it.
Hutton's great that way, and you're great to this show, and
we love you. A lot of love.
Love. See ya.
Love you, Paul.
Stephen Godfrey, at 38 Godfrey on Twitter, Split Zone Duo, the podcast.
Can we talk about love for 1 second?
Sure.
Mark Howard used to leave his Twitter account open.
Back when this computer in front of me worked.
Yeah, so we have, for some reason, computers in front of us. Yeah. It's a dated concept.
I think Mark Howard was the only one to use that computer.
They are dust collectors.
In my time here, I've never used one of those computers. But there are computers in front of the three main stations in this.
I did use the computer
studio.
At the old building. I remember using that computer.
In the studio or in the green room?
In the studio.
Well, keep in mind that these other monitors that used to work years ago, you know, that just sit here now,
Microsoft relics of a
world long ago.
It's like a museum.
These two monitors here, we would have the phone screener on one, and the other one we would have the board that Reed is looking at in there, so he could show me things in real time and give a thumbs up to. I could see the commercials that were going to play. I could see what was coming up on our sheet that now has to be physically printed out.
That was a nice thing to have.
Yeah, this was, we're talking about 2014.
We could look down and see exactly how much time you had in a break.
Yeah. Back when things were nice.
I didn't mean to distract you guys from what I was getting to. Mark used to use Twitter on this computer. And periodically, he would forget to log out. And so Hutton and I would try to get creative as to what we would tweet from Mark's account.
Right.
And we would tweet love, and then a little while later we would tweet love, and then a little later we would tweet love. So if you ever hear us say love,
we got to the point where we're referring
to the Mark Howard's tweeting of love.
It got to the point where we would just send out those three words and just log out. It would be love, log out, and then that would be the tweet for the day.
But we always wondered.
And then people would respond to him, love you too, Mark. Right.
But we always wondered if he ever saw those tweets and wondered where they were coming from or anything, and I've never discussed it with him. So, Mark, if you're listening now, tweet us love to acknowledge, kind of in code, that you're engaged in this conversation and tell us if you ever...
I love people speculating what he was meaning, but like the meaning behind it.
Yeah. Right.
What does he know?
Or is Mark's dating life really looking up?
Has Pruitt been fired? Does he know it? And that's what he's commenting on? What's happening?
So back in the day when Hutton and I shared an office, I left my Facebook up one day, and there was a far less ambiguous message posted to my Facebook. I know Hutton was not responsible for it.
Someone else was.
I was not.
Who was?
I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, just give me initials.
You could probably still get fired over that.
Yeah.
I know he would today.
Does he sing?
It was so good, though.
No, he does not sing.
615-737-1045, our number. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we will hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Your phone calls next on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're about to be open, Chad.
I think we should do it. Okay. Let's pull the plug. And
today's the day.
Let's
order.
Somebody's got to take the bull by the horns here and get online and order. Paul, I elect you to do it today.
Edley'sBBQ.com.
I'm not going to make the order today.
12 Southeast Nashville, Sylvan
Farm. I do it most of the time. You can do it today. I accept this gift.
It felt a little bit too much like an assignment.
It is a bit of an assignment. It's more of me.
If it was a request, I would have been in. But an assignment, no.
Typically, I don't even have to be requested. I just
do it. Looking it up here.
You guys don't even request it. I just do it.
You
initiated by saying, I'm hungry. I go and order lunch for everyone.
I have the website pulled up. We can place our order during the next break.
I can't wait.
We can make it happen.
I have to go and talk to
And I like Paul to Vrabel, place that order.
As
once
I
again.
Call him, Vrabel.
Paul can place his order while he's messaging other media members inside the Zoom chat.
When is the Zoom chat today?
11.
Every Zoom chat's like the last to me. It's really, they're all the same. I don't really know what is coming out of the Zoom chats. Other than Mike Vrabel's constant state of irritation towards doing the Zoom chats. And then just waiting back to see how short he's going to be with certain people.
Yes. Some people who call in from the moon. Let's be honest. Jerry calls in from the moon. Every day it's an adventure.
I think John Glennon gets the same response to every question.
And then at the end he goes,
you'll find out on Sunday.
Gotcha.
Oh, gotcha. So follow-up. It's always a two-word answer followed by, oh, gotcha, follow-up. Following up on that.
Yeah. Saffold was good yesterday. He's like, yeah, I'm playing. I'm not passing up this opportunity.
He said, you know what? I'm playing. Yeah.
You know what? I'm playing.
Yeah, and pointing out, you know, that I was missing two from that Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams game.
Oh, my. Lebowski went back and found a tweet from Mark Howard in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
This was year one of the Midday 180, a real retrospective here. And it just says love, love, love to the at Midday 180.
Did he retweet it?
Yes.
Oh, he tweeted it. We tweeted it from him to us.
He said, have we secured the evidence? And it was, I can't click. Here it is. August 22nd, 2012. 12:31 p.m. So this was 30 minutes into the old time slot. 12:03. Mark Howard tweeted love, love, love.
Were there periods?
At Midday 180.
Periods, commas, right, nothing.
We just retweeted it.
No, just love, love, love to the at Midday 180.
So good.
2012.
Thank you, Lebowski. That was very thoughtful of you.
I really wish these computers work now so people could leave their Twitter open.
Those were the days.
JT is so savage.
We could have been vicious.
JT's done this with
me
where he'll like grab your phone and go to like porn sites on your phone immediately if you leave it open.
Change it to Chinese.
JT would be so savage. He'd start sending direct messages to people if you left it open. I guarantee you he would do that. Like inappropriate messages to people you shouldn't be sending messages to.
That's why you sent me the message of JT that you don't often hear on air.
Apple ruined it with the fingerprint.
That's why you sent me that that message.
Yeah, that thing you sent. That inappropriate thing.
You mean that picture? there were no words.
Get that phone out of your pants, Chad.
Yeah, sorry.
Please.
So, in just a couple of minutes, Chad's about to chat with Chief Rentals and Mark. And as Reed put that up there, I thought that was Mark Howard calling him.
Oh. I doubt Mark would call to discuss love, based on the love. Great. Yeah, it would be
all these years. He's finally figuring out what happened.
You mean to tell me you guys were doing the love?
You gutless bleep.
If Mark would win Twitter for the day if he just tweeted out right now, love, 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 with a picture of yellow ice from Bridgestone Arena.
Yes.
and a middle finger emoji.
That's right. Kellen Mond has declared for the NFL draft.
Kellen Mond wasn't a senior. He was a senior. I guess just because he's not going to come back for the extra year of eligibility. It's a weird spot where people are declaring. Like, Ty Chandler has completed his time in Knoxville, and he's entered the transfer portal. because you get the added
year.
Because he could come back, but instead he's going to move on and go somewhere else for one last year. But he's gone. He's played for 4 years. He was a starter as a freshman. He played 4 years, and now he's
got to announce
he's transferring.
Pick a school for him.
Ty Chandler?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he'd probably, I don't know, Tulsa? I'm trying to think of the level where he'd really shine. He's a good player, not a great player. Not a dynamic player.
Another guy, though, that didn't get to do everything he probably could have done.
No, I think he did. I think they got the most out of Ty Chandler. And I think that running back is really – the running back room is really full now with Eric Gray and the number one JUCO running back in the country coming in.
A jam-packed Titans Hour coming up where we will hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel in preparations for the Baltimore Ravens. We will also chat with pass rusher Harold Landry on the show. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.